but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Judah Newby and Stephen Vaughn filling in for Canzano on this day before Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there, to you and yours. Safe travels thereabouts. Enjoy the family, the food, the football, everything that goes into it. Beaver Nation will be tuning in Saturday, 3:30 on the CW, as Oregon State goes up to the Palouse to take on Washington State, round two of the Pac-12 championship. Beavers trying to put the final touches on being Pac-12 champs this year. Rob Akey has done a masterful job as the interim head coach, guiding the ship in the last couple of months in what's been a rocky season that's needed some stability. Rob Akey's provided that. He joins us on the show right now. Coach, happy early Thanksgiving to you and yours. How are you?
I'm doing well. Merry Thanksgiving to all y'all also.
We appreciate you popping on with us, Judah Newby and Stephen Vaughn, filling in for John Canzano. What's this week like, the cadence of everything? You got the holidays, of course, but you still got a team that's trying to focus on practice one day at a time and a lot on the line this Saturday.
That's exactly right, and that's where the attention lies. And I was grateful that we had the opportunity to get, with the bye last week, we were able to get some bodies feeling a little bit better, and hopefully it'll put some new guys back out on the field again this weekend, and then obviously some time to get their minds right and get our minds on new opponent. A little extra time on that was obviously a cool thing. And then back into the routine is what we're doing right now. And so we had a great day yesterday. They were fired up and flying around and had a bunch of piss and vinegar in them. Didn't practice this morning, and that was good. And tomorrow morning we're going to practice and then have Thanksgiving dinner after that. And then Friday, go through our normal routine. We'll get on plane, head up to the Palouse and get ready to get after them on Saturday. And it's championship weekend on rival weekend. It's a hell of a damn deal, don't y'all think?
No, I love that pun, fully intended. Appreciate that. All right, but we got to take Thanksgiving plate, Coach. I mean, I'm trying to imagine you and your preferences on Thanksgiving. I can't imagine there's a dish you're turning down on Thanksgiving, but what's at the top of Rob Akey's list on the Thanksgiving plate?
You're right. There's not much I wouldn't have on that plate probably, but you got to have some turkey. It's got to be dark meat. You got to have a little ham also. Got to have the smashed up potatoes and gravy, and it's mandatory that you got the green bean casserole. And if there happen to be some greens and some macaroni and cheese, that'd be great too.
There it is. That sounds like a heck of a Thanksgiving. Tell you what, we'll kind of be all over there with the
W. Got to have side rails on it.
Yeah.
Got to have side rails on that.
I love to hear that. Talk about this opponent, Washington State a little bit. You talked about, you just said, we face a new opponent. Well, not really a new opponent, but you've played them once already this season. It's a little different here in college football where you're playing the same team twice in the season. You don't usually do that. How much can you take away from that first victory against Washington State going up into the Palouse?
Well, I think you put a lot into it, and I mean that in a lot of different directions, but in regards to the way the game played out and you pay attention to the things that they did and how they tried to attack us and things that we did to attack them. And then take a look at, where vulnerabilities did they maybe lie, both for us and against us, and kind of plan those out. And then you compare it, because you already had taken that first game plan based on all the previous games that they had played. And then so now you take a look at how they – what they did with that to plan their attack for us, and then the games they played since then, including our game, and see where do the wrinkles lie, where do the things change, and then that's kind of the cool thing about it. It's not common in college football, obviously, playing somebody twice in the same season, but it's it was our way of life in the NFL. You played everybody in your division home and away, and so there's some things that you kind of have the ability to try to set up in the first game to be able to pull off some things in the second game, some things like that. So that's been kind of the fun about looking at and that stuff. And then I also look at, it was fun when we put that game back on tape and just watched, as you went and watched the way that we played against. And I love the way our guys played that night. They played with energy. They played with fire. They played with physicality. And they did a great job of playing for one another. And the team took care of the team in a great way that night. That's what I'm looking to for these guys to bring back out again. And we can close this time out together one more time, smiling again. And the last time this group will ever be together all at the same time again.
You know, it's really interesting, Coach. I mean, you spent a lot of years at Washington State, as an assistant, a D coordinator, early 2000s. What does it mean for you to be in this place now with Oregon State going back up there where you've gotten some reps as a coach in years past?
Well, I had a fun time there. It was good. But I've got my intent on one thing and one thing only, and that's our guys. And that's seeing our guys smile. It'll be, there'll be some people I know up there at the game. There'll be a bunch of folks in that fashion. It'll be familiar surroundings because I've been in there enough and that kind of stuff. But the thing that matters the most is seeing our guys fly around. Our guys have a great time playing for one another again. And when we get done with the game, being able to sing our fight song in that damn locker room and smiling on the plane ride back home.
It's going to be the last game of the careers for some of these guys. And this is something as a football fan and somebody watching from the outside in that I don't think I appreciate enough is when it gets to the end of the season and there's seniors getting ready to play their last game and putting a cap on their career for maybe the majority of them or at least some of them. It's the last time they'll be on a football field together. Can you describe for us what it's like being around those guys this week as they get ready to do battle for one last time?
Well, yeah, and it's there's a lot of feeling, there's a lot of emotion that comes out of that, and just some of the conversations having with two guys right on top of my head, Skyler and Hank, talking to them, what does this game mean to you? And it means a hell of a lot. Skyler, it's the game we get to play this week, and that matters to me the most because we get to play, and we get to do it again. And he talked about being able to do it with his teammates, and he's had a long, time here. And there's this place is something, a place that he's very proud of. His team is guys he's very proud of, and he wants to go out and battle again. And then, obviously, the opportunity to go out and put on – great plays on tape to try to give himself the opportunity to continue to play football now that college is going to be over with. And so I kind of let those guys deliver that message to their teammates a little bit also. I think, sometimes, everybody thinks they know what everybody's thinking, but you really don't know. Everybody's got their own situation. Some guys' bodies feel better than others. Some are able to go. Some just can't go. And so I think when they understand how much it means to some of these guys that aren't going to get to do it again. And it maybe helps them dig a little bit deeper to do some of that stuff. And then I think there's some things that start setting in on guys. And you see that a little bit with them on the field, understand that this time next week, we're not going to be out here practicing and I'm not going to do it here. And I mean, hell, for all of them, obviously the coaches, us included, may not have the opportunity to be here again. And so I think there's some of that kind of sets in a little bit also, and that's normal at the end of the season anyways, but I think it's magnified a little bit more. So there's a lot that is in their heads right now.
You talk about like the unknown for the players and the coaches, but since you are a coach and you've been a coach for a long time, like what is the college football schedule and calendar with brand new coaches coming in? We were talking about Brent Vegan going back to Montana State. We're talking about James Franklin going to Virginia Tech. We're gonna have the transfer portal coming up soon. We got signing day coming up, next week. Like, does the college football calendar need to be changed in any way? Is it just getting too hectic and out of control as a head coach and as an interim coach or as just a coordinator and all that kind of stuff?
The calendar is completely out of whack. And I hope people that have the opportunities to make some of these decisions listen to what Nick Saban had to say on game day this past weekend, because it doesn't match up and it doesn't make sense. And the things we're able to do, the NIL, what you're able to do for players to help them, that's outstanding. That's awesome. Okay. They've got the opportunity that they can go into the portal and maybe change their situation. And, you know, some of them do it for great reasons. Some do it. There's a lot of different reasons. You got mixed emotions on the portal, but it, the calendar of it, that's what you asked me about. No, it doesn't match up. Cause, you know, you got the, I mean, that'd be like the NFL saying, okay, we're going to go into free agency while we're in the playoffs. That doesn't happen. And then you've got to, you know, building your teams, and then the portal and that change is going to take place after the second semester has already begun, and how you're going to make those end of things work. And it just, they need to find the window the right way to make these things happen, to make it be a good thing. And then, you know, and everybody's got their own feelings on how the portal works and things like that. You know, the one thing that is awesome deal about college football and, well, sports, but team sports in general, is you learn how to deal with difficult situations. You learn how to pick yourself up when things are hard, and you learn how to work to earn an opportunity. And some of the stuff that's happening, you know, you see guys that are in places that, I'm not getting enough playing time here. I can't play here. I can't start here. I'm going to go someplace else. And sometimes it's for every right reason, and sometimes it's just saying, hey, it's okay if you can't do it here, go someplace else, and it's all right to do that. And you got guys that are playing, you know, their third team in 3 years, or hell, the quarterback at Cal is on his second team, and he's still in his first semester of college. That's you think about that a little bit. So to me, that is out of whack, and I'm not saying you don't give players opportunities because you need to, and the things that we're doing for them are good, but it got okayed through people that were in those positions to do things that have never coached one of these kids. They've never sat in the living room. They've never been to visit those families. They just say, hey, y'all go ahead and do it. And then they want to come back and try to police it later. And I think that's where it's out of whack. And hopefully they'll listen to somebody that knows these things that can help get the calendar put together better. But it is. And it, at the same time, it's also the timing of it is going to be a little bit difficult when you're trying to match up a school's academic calendars with the nature of what the football season calendars are. It's there needs to be a little tweak in there.
That's right. Yeah. Agreed.
Is that too long of an answer for a short question that you gave me?
I think it highlights the amount of issues that the current calendar has. I think you nailed it. Because the unfortunate part is, Coach, you probably could have gone on for another half hour to an hour and have been totally in line, because I totally agree. That highlights just how illogical things are right now in terms of the lack of alignment with the calendar and the competition. Rob Akey, Beavers interim head coach, on the line with us. Coach, when you came on Trent Bray's staff initially, I'm sure this is not the way you envisioned this year would go. You've also been around the sport for a long time, so you've learned a lot of lessons. Football's taught you a lot of things. I'm curious what this year in particular has taught you as a head coach and as a man, considering how everything has gone this year. What have you learned about this season?
Well, you're right. It wasn't what we'd anticipated for it to be by any stretch, but we got dealt with what we got dealt with. And I think for anything at all, it's the appreciation for the opportunity to be able to do what we do for these kids, I think, is probably the biggest thing of all. Because when the body blow happened and took place, it those kids were in a bad spot, and they needed people to be able to help them through it. And I think that's what this coaching staff was able to do, and teach them how to deal with adversity and things like that in life, and teach them to, if you do things a certain way, you can find your opportunity to have success. And, I think we've been able to draw off of that. And I think, you pay attention to those things. And I think, I'm obviously very grateful for that. And glad we're in the position to be able to make a difference in these kids' lives. And we'll have relationships with these kids for a lifetime, which is awesome also. And then I think, you look at it in the profession, but I said this longer ago than now, you never ever say you've seen everything, because you haven't. All you gotta do is blink your eye and something new is gonna happen they say didn't think could happen. So you get to deal with it piece by piece, and it helps you make sure that you're keeping things tight, and you avoid situations like that from happening in the future, if that makes sense.
It does. You were in the NFL a few years there with Vikings and Washington. Did you ever get a chance to be a part of a team that played on Thanksgiving during those seasons?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Redskins and the Cowboys, that was a Thanksgiving kind of tradition. And I remember we played them down at their place on Thanksgiving morning. That was a fun time. It was, it was cool, because that's, you get later in the season, some of those games lose a little life until it's a, if it's a Thanksgiving game or a Monday night game and some things like that, then some of the environment comes out a little bit more. But that was, On one hand, it was really, really cool because, you know, you're on a, you watched that game ever since you were a little kid growing up. So that was kind of awesome. But then we also had to do it on a short week. So that wasn't so awesome. You get done playing on Sunday night and then you're on the road in Dallas 4 days later. That kind of sucked, to be honest with you.
So that was tail end of probably Romo and almost, was he handed it off to Dak yet in 16?
Yeah, right Dak there? Was yeah. Dak was the pain in my tail there, yes. And but it was it was good. I think we came out of that one pretty good, if I remember right.
I gotta find. I can't imagine, Coach. What is it like coaching an NFL defensive lineman? I feel like that whole context is a different world compared to us normal people. You're coaching giants out there.
They are giants, and they're. But, you know, in a lot of ways, they're big old little kids, and they were, you know, it's a fun breed. They're obviously a very talented breed. They can do a lot of things. That's why they're there. They're the best in the world, right? But at the same time, you know, they want to be coached. They want to learn. And, when you're in the NFL, they want to know that you care about them. I think that's cool. But the biggest thing there is, that can you help them get their next contract? And that's what, you know, motivates them, because it's their livelihood, it's their living. And but when you can give them nuggets and they find things and you find little pieces that you can tack on folks, they tie right into it. And then the thing that's kind of cool about that is, you know, you can change things, even, no, not just calls, but even a technique in the middle of a game that, you know, when you're coaching the college guys, you might still be getting them to get good at that specific technique, let alone be able to change it in the middle of a game. It's just, you know, they've been doing it longer, and that's why they're professionals in that. It's, you know, just how it's a little bit different. But there's some dudes, there's some pretty good characters. We had a lot of fun in those times, yes.
It's awesome. I love that. Well, Coach, hey, thanks for stopping by with us on this short week for a lot of folks. We appreciate it. Thanks for making time all year with Canzano as well, and your leadership of the program this season, and best of luck with your next steps too, whether it's, you know, staying here or elsewhere. You know, I mean, you're a heck of a coach and a heck of a leader. We appreciate, you know, everything that you've contributed at Corvallis, you know, this season. So thanks for making time. Happy Thanksgiving, and go give them hell on Saturday.
Hey, you can count on that, Bubba. I appreciate it. Appreciate you guys. This has been a fun time. And stay in touch with me. We're going to have a lot of fun for years to come, all right?
Heck
Merry
yeah.
Thanksgiving.
There he is. Heck yeah. That's Rob Akey, interim head coach of the Oregon State Beavers. Beavers at Cougs this Saturday, 3:30. Brent Vegan is going back to Montana State. That's the news that kind of dropped right before the show. So one of the finalists for the Oregon State job is out. Does that mean it's Jamarcus Shepherd's job to lose, or does he have it already? We'll see. We'll continue to monitor that. Or the Beavers up a creek right now and needing to find another answer. We'll dig into all of that as the show unfolds. Plus, more Ducks Huskies talk ahead of Saturday afternoon. If you're a Duck fan, what are you thinking about this game? Are you going to the game? Are you nervous about the game? Are you pretty confident Oregon's going to go up there, take care of business, and punch a ticket to the playoff? Does any part of you want Michigan to beat Ohio State and to get the Ducks to Indianapolis? Or are you kind of saying, hey, I've got no problem missing the Big Ten title this year if it means getting healthy and getting that home playoff game? 503-417-7575. Jude Anubi and Stephen Vaughn filling in here on the Bald-Faced Truth.